week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's Fun Feature Friday on the Sunny Side of Sports. Uganda's former Lady Cranes captain, Winnie Achang, is now using rugby for both fun and fitness. In this feature from Kampala, Magume Davis Rakawinge tells us more about Winnie. Sporty Friday greetings, Magume!
Sporty Friday greetings to Sunny and our listeners.
Let's avoid first recipients taking in the ball. First recipients are wet at pace. Apai, you're being lazy, one person rocks there. Nakato, give Apai the work.
It's evening time, and this place in the area, a child on the rugby grounds, a Thunderbirds rugby club trains. Team manager Winnie Achang looks on, at times chipping in with a piece of advice to the team, some of whom were her former teammates. Having become a mother at a tender age, the former Ugandan rugby cranes captain calls the game of rugby as her redeemer. Yet, she started the game for fun and fitness, juggling, taking care of her twins, work, and an education. She says she's grateful for the kindness received from sportsmen and women.
In 2003, I'd just given birth to my twin daughters. But at that time, I'd just dropped out of school. I was in my senior two. So women's rugby was not very active in Uganda, not very prominent in Uganda. But my cousin told me, you know what, they are ladies that train Monday, Wednesday, Friday. If you do not mind, you could join them because I know you're passionate about sports. I'm like, oh, okay. But that time I was still breastfeeding the twins. So I decided to take one Wednesday evening, I decided to take a stroll where we are right now. And I had no mates, but I carried my daughters with me. And that time the ladies were not very playing contact yet, but they were playing touch rugby. It was a group of women trying to get fit and just live healthy. When we became many and it was more interesting, the coach converted the sport into contact. So he started giving us the rules, the do's and don'ts of the sport in contact. And that is how I started playing rugby. It is amazing that the support I got on a rugby pitch was amazing. I had never gotten support from anywhere in my life. Because remember, I had stigma from being a child, a teenage mother and all that. But I was very welcomed at the rugby club, and that is how my rugby journey began.
During her sparkling career, Achang helped Uganda to qualify and play at international tournaments, including the World Cup in 2009. Achang says it was a proud moment, rubbing shoulders with the rugby greats like New Zealand, South Africa, the United States, Great Britain, South Africa, and Brazil. She calls it a milestone.
That is the pride that I have. Even it is a motivation that my children have. That if our mother could make it to the World Cup, we think we can make it to the World Cup too. So even my grandchildren will get to know about their grandmother going to the World Cup. And that is every player, every rugby player's dream. But for me, it was an accomplishment. It was satisfying.
Alia Adania Ikwa played with her at that World Cup.
She guided me in my laws. She lifted me up. Her words were encouraging. So I think I would commend her. She puts a foundation, a brick to my journey in rugby, because I played rugby for 17 years.
Wow.
Like she would tell me, we are not quitters. We will let you cross the Nile twice. We are not quitters. So that gave me the strength to go on. The times I'm really low, and whenever I would think of Howard, I was like, you know what, we are not quitters. I'll just get on my feet and get going.
Another former teammate, Yvonne Najuma, who still plays for the Thunderbirds and the national team, vividly remembers the times playing alongside Achang.
I grew up seeing her, and I loved to play like her. And the first time I played with her on the same team, it was in Kisumu, and we did a move. I broke the line, I passed the ball to her, and then she scored. Then I played with her. She was my captain in South Africa. World Cup qualifiers. Up to now, she's still my mentor. I look up to her.
Najuma, who's still an integral member of the Uganda Lady Cranes, says she's learned from Atiang to be resilient. Atiang has also started a foundation which not only equips fellow women with rugby skills, but other hands-on skills like cooking, liquid soap making, and crafts to help them with their livelihoods.
I'm not shy to use me as an example for dropping out of school, for working like three times harder to get to even where I am today, and then also being a woman. We need to motivate our girls to get education, because the things that I dreamt that would happen to us is happening right now. The girls are being paid salary, the girls are being given contracts, and those are the things that we used to fight for, play hard for, and would really wish to just represent our country and be appreciated.
Wishing you, Sunny Young, all the best in retirement. Thank you so much, Sunny, for the opportunities to work with you on the show. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinjini, Kampala, Uganda.
Thank you, Mugume. I've enjoyed your award-winning features on the Sunny Side of Sports. Yes, the sun is setting on the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm retiring from the Voice of America after nearly 36 years here. My last show is March 27th. And this VOA programming note, I have special guests lined up for my last three shows on March 25th, March 26th, and March 27th. So please tune in.
Hello, listeners. My name is Winnie Atiang Alexander, a former Thunderbirds Rugby Football Club player and a former women's national team player of Uganda, the Lady Cranes. And I represented Uganda in different tournaments, including All Africa Games and including the World Cup in 2009 in Dubai. And you are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Thanks, Winnie. Winnie mentioned playing rugby for Uganda at the African Games. In women's football at the 13th African Games, host Ghana has won the gold medal. As we hear now from Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, sporty greetings, Kwabena.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Ghana defeated their Nigerian counterparts in the Accra 2023 African Games women's football competition. At the fully packed Cape Coast Stadium last Thursday, Ghana striker Mukarama Abdullahi broke the deadlock when both teams had a goal each after the full regulation time and went into extra time. Mukarama got the winner for the host nation in the 98th minute to clinch gold in the women's football competition in the 13th African game. Yusuf Basik is the head coach of Ghana's team. During a post-match press conference, Coach Yusuf expressed gratitude to his players who followed his tactics and strategy.
Yeah, we had to exploit one of the center backs and then also on the left side, which of course we had to do something we call overload in order to capitalize their weaknesses. We exploited their weakness.
That was Ghana's coach Yusuf Basik. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena, and thanks for all your excellent reports over the years. I also want to publicly thank Kwabena for welcoming me and guiding me during my first trip to Africa in 2001. I covered a World Cup qualifying match between Ghana and Nigeria in Accra, and Kwabena also traveled with me and my late VOA colleague, Hot Rod Thomas, to the Ashanti Kingdom of Kumasi, where Kwabena organized some Voice of America-sponsored youth football matches to promote polio immunization. Nigeria's former sprint queen, Mary Onyali, a six-time African Games champion, is praising the athletes at the Games in Ghana. Iron Mike Mbonye caught up with Onyali in Accra, and she had this to say.
From the athletes' perspective, they've been giving their best. This year is the Olympic year, so this being our first African major championship or competition, we see this as our African Olympics. So this is our prelude to the Paris Olympics. So the athletes are prepared. They've been dropping fast times here, you know, personal best, national records, and we're just looking for a world record from somebody. Then as far as the organization is concerned, I have to give kudos to Ghana. Ghana put up a brave face. It was very tough in the beginning, granting them the host, but eventually everything settled down, and they were able to give us a very entertaining session.
Team Nigeria has been on the podium with several medals, gold, silver, and bronze. Your take on the performances of Team Nigeria so far?
Well, right now we're second on the medals table, overall medals table. Egypt is leading comfortably, as usual.
Can you come to track and field? I'm referring to athletics.
Athletics, right now we're leading. Nigeria is leading on the medal table for athletics, and we hope to continue the medal haul up until tomorrow, which is the final day. We usually don't miss top three medal table on athletics, because athletics is our main forte in Nigeria. So even if we lose every other event, athletics must be tops.
Have there been some outstanding athletes you've seen so far amongst members of Team Nigeria, especially the female athletes? And I would dare ask somebody that looks nearer to Mary Onyali in, like, of the days of yore.
Well, in the sprints, the fastest home-based athlete we have right now in the sprints is Olayinka, and she's doing extremely well. She didn't disappoint at home, and she didn't disappoint here either. I'm very, very sure, give her the next 3 to 4 years, by the next Olympic precisely, she will do extremely well if she's focused, determined, and dedicated.
From what you've seen also here, what do you think is the future of athletics for Team Nigeria?
Right now, I'm extremely happy in these games. The reason, because majority of our athletes were home-based. They were homegrown. This is a testament to the fact that our foreign-based athletes, whom are majority student athletes, if not released by their schools to attend events like this, we usually feel like we didn't have anybody and we'll start losing hope. But this year, our Federation board members has deemed it fit to believe and trust in our home-based athletes and our home-based coaches. So this opportunity that has been given to them, they have really maxed it out. They've milked it to the bone. And I'm happy that we are beginning to see that there is really some good things coming out of our home-based athletes. And I want this to continue so that we don't completely rely on our foreign-based athletes to perform.
Your message to up-and-coming athletes, especially the home-based ones, on what it takes to be track and field queen like Mary Onyali?
To all my home-based babies, please, use this event, use this, your first international outing, as a benchmark. And for those that didn't make the team this year, I would ask that you don't relent. Your turn maybe next. Now that Nigeria have seen that there is something good coming from the home-based athlete, I want you to use this as a benchmark to do better. And our coaches as well, I have to give them kudos, because they were never given credit for raising athletes from home. This time around, they have done the impossible, and everybody have taken notice.
That's Nigeria's former sprint queen, Mary Onyali. And she spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Accra, Ghana. And thank you, Iron Mike, for all your excellent reports over the years on the sunny side of sports.
Sporty greetings. This is your girl, Mary Onyali, MFROLY. Giving you a shout out from Ghana. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabarow. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What's going on?
Mukbil, I'm not going to lie. I'm starting to get a little choked up as my retirement date approaches. Just a few more shows here in Studio 22. On that note, shout out for the proud Kenyan, Patrick Dea, working the boards.
Yes, sir.
Behind the bright and shiny glass here in Studio 22. Yes, indeed. Patrick Dea, I believe he went to Eton High School, produced so many great long-distance runners. Shout out for Patrick Dea. Shout out for my man, Mukbil Yabarow. Mukbil, it has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you about various sporting events right here on the Sunny Side of Sports and in other forums.
Absolutely, Sunny. Now, honestly, it's been a pleasure, man. This is a surreal moment because, you know, you've been with the agency for, you know, quite some time now, and then you and I have been working together for now, I would say, on air, probably close to, what, like five?
I think
yeah,
you're
just
right.
About five-ish. But just beyond that, it's like a day-to-day, you know, and it's been so amazing for my own personal growth and the ability that you've, you know, you've kind of backed me and, you know, helped me in my transition from a producer to on air. Honestly, man, it's been a pleasure, but I feel like the reason why me and you like work so well is because these are natural conversations that we're having off air. These are things that we're interested in whether the mic is on or not. So when it does happen that we're chatting about it on air, it seems pretty seamless.
Yeah, so I will say EPL kind of dominates the office sports conversation, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think we have quite a few people who can come in and chime in with when it comes to EPL on our programming. But beyond that, you know, you and I are, you know, huge NBA and basketball fans. And not only NBA, we got NCAA, March Madness, which we'll be touching on later on as well. So it's been awesome, bro.
I will say from a broadcasting point, Mukbil, one of the things we share in common, we both played sports. I mean, I grew up, and no exaggeration, I probably played at least 10, maybe as many as a dozen different sports.
Right.
Not all organized, granted, right. But, right. You know, sports like netball,
right.
Tetherball, dodgeball, along with the traditional sports like football and basketball right. And baseball.
Yeah.
And one of the things I believe, this is what I believe here at Sunny Side of Sports Central, is that if you play team sports,
yeah.
If you play team sports, it's going to help you when it comes to working with others.
Absolutely. I feel like, you know, when you have, for the most part, the majority of the sports that we just discussed right now are team sports, right? Obviously, you have, you know, high-level sports that are individual, like a golf or like a tennis. But even with that, right, you still require a team atmosphere because you have a coach or a trainer or, you know, a buddy of yours that maybe you guys train together. So there's still a team aspect within all sports. But in particular, the sports that we played at a higher level, the basketballs and stuff like that, you can't get far enough without going with the team. You know what I mean? So for us, I feel like because we have that, you know, that backing, it's very easy for me to fall in line within my teammates and work together and collaborate and do these things. And especially in a newsroom, you know, this is something.
It can be quite hectic.
Absolutely. But when you have that understanding that, look, in order for us to be as great as we want to be, we got to work together as a collective. It always helps.
And the other aspect I'll chime in now, Mukbil, is I think sports teach you how to lose. That I mean, nobody's yep. going to win every game.
Oh, absolutely.
It ain't in the cards. But, you know, we're all going to have setbacks in life.
Right.
And, you know, sports, you do learn how to, you know, cope with it and move on.
Early on.
Right, you know. It's very few people that go their lives, you know. You got a guy like Kareem, you know.
Yes.
He won in basketball throughout his entirety of his career, you know, which is from, like, I believe it was from, like, high school to college to winning on the highest level. But even him, you know, he didn't win every single season, you
That's
know.
Right.
He was a winner, you know, eventually found a way to win. But, you know, you do have to have those losing seasons in order to build your character. And it definitely helps outside of the sport as well.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm chatting with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Mukbil, let's turn to March Madness, the very popular NCAA men's basketball championship tournament. And I know on Thursday's show, we were talking bracket busters and upsets and taking a look at Thursday's results, Mukbil. What were sort of the bracket busters, in your opinion?
Sonny, we spoke about it, man. I don't know if I gave them bad luck or what, but I definitely mentioned Kentucky while we were off air. I said, you know, usually, you know, kudos to Coach Calipari for being able to understand that a lot of the players that come to him nowadays are what we like to call the one and dones, right?
What is one and done for our listeners?
So a one and done type of player is a player who has to go from high school to college or at least spend 1 year outside of high school in order to then make their way to the pros. If we look back, you know, we had years where you could directly go from high school straight into the pros. Great examples of that are, you know, the likes of Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett. You had players like LeBron James go directly from their high school straight into the pros. But they stopped that maybe because a lot of the players weren't panning out as great as those three that I mentioned, which are, you know, obviously Hall of Famers. But you had a bunch of other players maybe slip through the cracks that maybe if they would have had 1 year of a collegiate atmosphere, maybe a different structure to be able to get them ready for the pros, you would see maybe a more successful and more professional athlete.
More maturation.
Absolutely.
More maybe resilience.
For sure. Because college, what it does is you're not only playing basketball now, you have to study, you know, you have to get a certain grade point average, keeping your grades at a certain level in order to be able to compete for that college. So I think that's what happens. But Coach Calipari has done a great job at Kentucky in being able to show, look, in the past 10 years, I've got, you know, X amount of players that have gone to the NBA after doing 1 year at my college. So come on here. Mm. Now, what we spoke about was because of that, though, his team usually doesn't have a lot of depth. Majority of his players that end up, you know, getting a lot of playing time are going to end up leaving after that first year. So if you have
a lot of turnover,
if you have that second or third year or fourth year Kentucky player, you're kind of confused. Like, what are they really doing here? Because that's not his business model, you know? So we knew coming into this tournament, even though they were ranked third in their division, that they were a young team that didn't really have a lot of experience. They ended up losing to Oakland, a shocker. 80-76, 4 points. It was a very exciting game. It went down to the wire, but most likely those players that are on that Coach Calipari team are going to go to the pros, at least a couple of their starters, and then you're going to have a completely new team next year.
Shout out for Oakland, Mukbil. It has produced some great athletes over the years. Among them, off the top of my head, the Williams sisters. Straight out of Compton,
right?
Which is, you know, very close to Oakland. The other name that comes to mind, speaking of Oakland, is the late great Bill Russell. He went to high school in Oakland, California.
Shout out, Bill!
And he, you know, definitely he had more rings on his fingers than any other player in NBA history. I think he won 11 NBA titles.
Whew.
Incredible! Man. So they've got some basketball talent there. What other games caught your eye?
Before we jump to that game, just a shout out to the player who put up Jack Gowick, I believe is his name.
Gowick, okay.
32 points against Kentucky. Plays for Oakland, 6'3" guard. But I saw an interesting stat. Said something along the lines of he's only shot 8 two-pointers all season. and he took 10 threes yesterday.
Oh, man. So he likes to fire from outside the arc.
He's a three-point specialist, man, and he was letting it rain last night. But, yeah, I had to give him a quick shout-out because, you know, it's tough to do that against Kentucky for sure. Another one, if we're looking at it. South Carolina, I called it, Sonny. South Carolina loses to Oregon. You know, the Ducks, the mighty Ducks, man. 87-73, bro. Man, it wasn't even close. When you look at that team, what you start to see is, you know, Oregon just seemed like they just wanted it more. If I'm just going through their quick stats, you got a player by the name of Cousinard, right?
Cousinard okay.
Puts up 40 points. Fun fact, he transferred out of South Carolina.
Oh, my word. That's called some serious payback.
Bro, he gave it to his old team, man. 40 piece and see you later.
Wow.
Yo, yeah, so that so was...
He must have known most of those guys he was playing against.
Yeah, and he probably came in there relatively comfortable. He knows a lot of their schematics. He knows what they do well, what they don't, how to exploit them. Yeah, man, he had 40 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds.
Well, on the South Carolina note, Muckbill, quick little personal Sonny note. My only sister, shout out for Marine. She is a proud graduate. She got her master's degree at South Carolina.
Shout out.
Shout out for Maureen Ingram. All right, Maureen, we're thinking of you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What other games caught your eye, Muckbill?
If I would say another game, definitely have to give a shout out to Washington State. Our young fella, Ruben Chinyelu's team was able to beat Drake 66-61. He didn't get that much playing time, but he is a freshman, so I definitely will be looking forward to him getting some more playing time. Last but not least, BYU loses to Duquesne, right? BYU, you know, they had the Egyptian magician, man.
The Egyptian, I love that nickname, the Egyptian magician.
What a nickname, but unfortunately for them, man.
He wasn't magical.
He wasn't as magical as one would have hoped, you know. Unfortunately for them, let me see if I'm just looking at the stats. Big zero. He had 2 rebounds and an assist, man. There's no magic for the Egyptian magician, unfortunately.
Well, speaking of magic, Muckbill, let's move up to the professional ranks. The Washington Wizards post a rare victory on Thursday night. They beat the Sacramento Kings 109-102. And I know we've talked a little bit about the Wizards this hapless season, but a team that is rebuilding in every sense of the word, right, Muckbill?
Man, shout out to Kyle Kuzma. Let me just say, shout out to Kyle Kuzma. Plus minus, he was plus 10. He had 31 points, 5 assists, 6 rebounds, all around great game. Jordan Poole added another 14 points. The Splash Bros, or do they call them the pool party now? The pool party, man.
See, although it's kind of been an empty pool most of the season.
But you know what they say, you know, the pools open up in May, right? So seems like we're kind of maybe getting towards it, but that's the end of the season, unfortunately. But hopefully this team is able to kind of get it together. They definitely did beat a very, very, formidable opponent in a very big win for them against the Sacramento Kings, who've been really doing well. You had Sabonis. You know, this is a team that has De'Aaron Fox, who had the team high 25 points. Sabonis added 14. Malik Monk added 20 points off the bench. All in all, man, this is a team that, you know, that I feel like they're going to do relatively well in the postseason. So to get a win against somebody like that kind of puts you into that good space. You feel good about it. Maybe next season you might be able to get it together.
Get it together, Wizards! We got to get it together, Muckbill. Those Wizards have been struggling, but we wish them the best.
Yes, sir.
In this rebuilding season. Thanks to my man, Muckbill Yarborough, joining me for some NBA talk and March Madness talk. Thanks also to the big man from Kenya, Eaton, Kenya, Patrick Dea, working the boards here in Studio 22. And finally, thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.